We're doing the Sefer HaMidot, and we're up to the fourth chapter about love. And the Magen Midubna is still going on his tangent about the love of the material things in this world. And he said he's going to take some time to explain to us why one should not be infatuated, one should not be madly in love with the material things. They are tools. But you shouldn't love them. You should love life. Love what you're doing with them. They are not an end. They are a means. And in order to better understand what he's about to tell us, I want to share with you a story that happened to me this past week. I was present where there was an event where there were a bunch of multimillionaires standing. And I happened to be in on a conversation where they were discussing different investments that they were looking into. And I stood there and I burst out laughing. So one of the people there asked me, "What are you laughing about?" So I said, "I don't understand you guys. You each have more money than you could give your kids and your grandchildren. Why are you so busy trying to make more? Shouldn't you be thinking about what you should do with it? Like, that's the focus?" So one of them answered me. He said, "I'm not making money to live. I like making money. You know, you like eating a good sandwich? I like making money. That's what I like doing in life." Another one started explaining to me, "You don't begin to understand my expenses on a daily basis. Just to run my house, on a month, the expenses of all the maids and the chauffeurs and all that, if I don't have $100,000 a month, my house goes under. My mortgage is $250,000 a month. You don't understand." He's like, "Okay, fine." So the conversation blew me away. People have so much and they're still focused on making more. Use it. You have it. Do good things with it. So the Magen Midubna is now going to go on another point about why we shouldn't be madly in love with this world. And he says, "Od siba atzuma shebavua yichdal ha'adam ha'avat olam hazeh v'shelo l'chapes ha'sagato." Another awesome reason why a person shouldn't be in love with this world, and that shouldn't be his focus. What our sages say in the Medrash Rabbah on Ecclesiastes, on Koheles, a person never passes away feeling like he's accomplished half of what he's desired in life. Meaning, as much as you have, you always wish you had more. I was once visiting a friend of mine, also multimillionaire, more money than he could think of what to do with. And as I'm there, he knew I was going to visit someone else that day. He says to me, "When you get to his house, look at the wall opposite the entrance. You're going to see the most magnificent painting." Now this guy, every painting on his wall was worth $250,000 and up. But he tells me, "You should know, everything you see in my house is nothing compared to what you're going to see there. When you walk through the door, that first painting, I don't know how many millions it's worth when you walk through the door." So it blew me away. The guy is sitting on so much, and again, he has more than he could give to all his children and grandchildren, but he's focused on what the other guy has that he doesn't have. Chazal said, a person never ends his life feeling like he's accomplished even half of what he's desired. Oma shamru, or else are what our sages taught, marbe nechasim, marbe daga. Chazal said, the more you have, the more you're worried over it. You have to put in different detectors, and you have to have all kinds of insurances. It's a constant worry. Oma shenemar, or what our sages taught us, givaynay muchav levotolo uchal. Whoever is haughty, whoever has a wide heart, which means he's constantly desiring things, God says, I can't have it with him. Be'ur ha'dvarim. So I want to explain these lines, says the Magen Midubna. Da ki ha'olam hazeh bilti efshar la'asigo b'shneimuto, b'chdei she'aleh lecha l'reach nechoach v'titaneg bo. I want you to know, in this world, you can never attain a wholeness in the physical world. You can never attain a point where you're enjoying it so much that you feel like, this is it, this is what I wanted, this is what I came here for. Ki ze mishpat hatzlachat olam ze. Kol asher yirbe ma'alato v'hatzlachato, ken yirbe etzvono v'yigiato. The way this world works is the more successful you are, the more you attain, the more you're bothered, the more you work, ad yashchit nafsho v'chayato, to the point where a person is self-destructive. I told you the story about the guy in Brooklyn who had $850 million, but he was working to be a billionaire. I told you guys the story. He wanted to have that billion. He had $850 million, so he had to keep going because he had to be a billionaire. The more he seems to attain a wholeness, the more he attains a feeling I'm missing. And he's going to explain this in one direction. I want to share with you the way it was explained to me by the Rosh Kollel in Tiferes Yerushalayim, Rabbi Yort. He once told me, he said, you have to bear in mind the story of Marilyn Monroe. What's the story of Marilyn Monroe? The woman had it all. She had a president chasing after her. Everyone was talking about her. She had glamour, she had fame, she had wealth. She had anything you could dream about. And then she committed suicide and wrote a letter saying, I've come to the realization I will never be happy. How'd she come to that realization? Why is it that so many actors commit suicide? There was one in England that committed suicide a few months ago. They had a bunch of articles then about why so many actors commit suicide. So he said the following idea. He said, we live in a culture that promotes materialism. And people think that happiness is when you're Michael Jackson. Happiness is when you're Marilyn Monroe. Happiness is when everyone's talking about you, looking at you, you're rich, you have the glamour, you have the beauty, you have the fame. And then the people who actually get there realize, I'm not happy. But if everyone tells me this is where you're going to be happy, so I got nowhere left to go. That's what Marilyn Monroe said. I got nowhere left to go. I have what everyone is working towards. Everyone thinks when they'll get there, they'll be happy. I'm here. And I know I'm not. So I realize I'm never going to be. Where else can I find happiness? If I'm here and I'm not, so where is it? So that's his explanation. That's what Rabbi Yor told me at the time. That so long as people don't get there, they don't think to commit suicide because they think one day they'll be happy. They'll get there. The reason they're not happy is because they're not there yet. When they get there and it's not there, that's why so many actors commit suicide. People who have made it, and they see it's not there. Yeah?
The worst thing of this madness is that also the companies that produce films or albums, songs, that promote this kind of idols, like actors or artists, they promote it in that way, that they are like God on earth. And these very people, when they're real successful, they see that they are not what the people that give them money promote them to be to the world. And so they get more depressed, because to the eyes of the person, they look like I said, God on earth, and to their own eyes, they look like empty people.
But that's a real conflict. Meaning what you're saying is a difficult conflict that permeates all situations of leadership. Meaning, I agree with you.
In the middle, on the outside, there's the people that sell these people as products to the simple people, to us. And on the other side, there are people like us, not like us, simple people, that want to have someone to have you as an idol in the Western world, having you as a prototype.
Yeah, I hear. I'm just pointing out, you have to remember that exists in all worlds. Meaning it's a certain conflict. Yohanan asked me a powerful question Sunday. And I'm still in doubt whether I answered him fairly. You should know. It's been bugging me since Sunday. Yohanan asked me, I was discussing certain human weaknesses. And Yohanan asked me, do you have that too? And I answered him honestly. I said, yes. And I keep wondering, because to a certain extent, people want to have a teacher who they could feel is in a different plane than they are. And maybe I did a disservice by being honest with him, with you, with whoever was here in class, and saying, I'm human too. I'm also working on it. I don't know how to play it any other way. I try to be honest. But at the same time, that's why I'm saying this conflict exists not only in the material world, it exists in the spiritual world too, where people would like to think that other people are on other levels. One of the things I say to I teach rabbis sometimes, so or people who are learning to go to the rabbinate, and I always say, remember, we're all human. We have weaknesses, and a person who ignores his weaknesses is most prone to fall by them. If you're real about your weaknesses, then you can overcome them, or at least you can contain them. But at the same time, I'm not sure Yochanan was happy with my answer. He might have been more comfortable thinking that I don't have that weakness. I might have really disappointed him. I don't know. He's not going to tell me. He says no. Okay, I knew he'd say no. Fine. I'm just saying you should just understand that the truth is that that conflict exists in many scenarios. It's not only there. The next section, I want us to learn tomorrow night, but I want to bring you an article about Van Vu. There was a guy from Vietnam, who went to the United States and had nothing but the clothes on his back with his wife. And there's a fantastic story. And I think that we have to learn this section, the next section, with the story of Van Vu, who... I don't want to tell you the end of the story. We'll see it tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem. We'll pick up here, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow.